From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Looking to spring a surprise? With a double, then a blank on the horizon, we look at how you should line up your team for the next couple of game weeks. Hello, welcome back to the latest FPL pod. Kelly Summers with you again as we prepare ourselves for yet another double game week. This time, game week 29. For those of you perhaps listening on Friday or after, we are recording on Thursday morning, our usual time, ahead of the final four fixtures of game week 28, just so we get to you in plenty of time before the deadline. So without further ado, let's welcome this week's panel. Hello to broadcaster and judging by his transfers this week, FPL guru, Adrian Clark.
Well, I've never been called that before, Kelly. Finally, I nailed it. So, yeah, I'm very, very happy. Yeah, Kane in, Reece James in as captain, sorted me right out. The players that I binned off were Cristiano Ronaldo and Ruben Diaz, who both blank. So, happy days this week.
Ted Wickham is also back with us. Good morning, Ted.
Hello. How are you, Kelly?
I am very good, thank you. I bet you're good as well, going into the 100 Club. Again, more on that very shortly. And finally, we have another debut, fresh from winning Best Commentator at this week's Sports Journalism Awards, BBC Radio 5 Live, and Match of the Day commentator, Vicky Sparks. Vicky, welcome along. What a week for you.
Yeah, hello, Kelly. It's so good to be with you all. Yeah, amazing week. Still a bit in shock, really. But really happy and just so proud to work in an industry that has so much strength at the moment in terms of commentary. Honestly, I learned so much from all the amazing commentators in the field. And it's been a fun week. And also hoping that it'll get even better going forward over the next 7 days, because I've got some big plans fantasy football-wise.
Oh, I'm looking forward to hearing about those. Now, I'm sure people will recognise your dulcet tones from BBC's Football Output, but this season I also discovered you do play FPL. We're in a head-to-head league together. Tell us, how long have you been playing and how is your season going so far?
Well, I'm one of these people that, you know, when you're really focused on it, you think so much about what you're going to do, planning ahead. And I've been playing since 2008-09. That was my best season. Had a great debut season, finished in the top 4,000, which is probably one of my career achievements to date.
Never mind that award.
Exactly. It's all about getting as high in the rankings as possible. So this season, it's been up and down. I mean, speaking personally, as of course all players and the manager as well of my team, I've been disappointed in my own performance. I think I needed to buck up my ideas around Christmas and and that's what I did. Had a very frustrating free hit debacle around Christmas where I'd planned a brilliant one. The weekend where all the games were getting called off late notice, I thought, right, Leeds are playing in the evening kickoff. I'll wait until 4 o'clock just before the deadline to make sure that game doesn't go. And I was staying with my mum and she said, oh, can you come and help with the Christmas tree?
No.
I said, yeah, sure, mum, that's fine. Had the free hit lined up. Missed the deadline by 4 minutes because we put on 3 extra baubles. And I came out and I was absolutely distraught. And the whole weekend, because I knew what my team was, I was saying, look, Ruben Diaz, I brought him on. He's got a clean sheet, mum. He scored. Never mind Christmas. Christmas is essentially ruined, isn't it? And but from that moment on, I think it's one of those, you know, as a manager, you get a bad defeat and you sit down with yourself, really.
Well, the good thing about the Christmas period as well is we had deadlines every few days. So you didn't have too long to dwell on that one. Well, we'll come on to this game week with you very shortly. Let's now discuss game week 28's talking points at the time of recording. It was another busy week for chips as well. 300,000 wildcards were played, 246,000 bench boosts, one of those from Ted, and 200,000 free hits were all active. Now, hopefully, managers who used them had some of these players then. The two top scorers, as it stands, are Reece James and Kevin De Bruyne, who both got a whopping 18 points, but neither of them will get any more points in this game week, despite Chelsea having a double game week, because James has got another injury. He came off against Burnley and Thomas Tuchel has confirmed he will miss this game. They're not quite sure how long he's going to be out for, but that is a bit of a blow for both Ted and Adrian, who both have him and captained him. But you can't be too disappointed, can you? 36 points from your captain isn't too bad. Adrian, I hinted you'd had a masterstroke in terms of transfers. You said about Harry Kane before, but you also bought in Reece James.
Yeah, no, Reece James came in for Diaz, and yeah, I sort of tried to be a little bit different with the captaincy selection. I liked the fixtures, obviously the fact that he had a double game week, and yeah, he delivered on that first one. I'm a little bit gutted, I have to say, because I was eyeing up an even bigger haul from him. I missed out on the Salah bonanza, the triple bonanza that everybody cashed in on, and it hurt me. It ran deep, so I was hoping that Reece James would make amends. He kind of has, so I can't complain. But yeah, no, I was pleased with that. Pleased with Kane's performance. He's in brilliant form, isn't he, at the moment? Harry Kane, absolutely outstanding. And it's a good job they did play well, because the rest of my team offered very little apart from Trent Alexander-Arnold. So yeah, as we stand, I think I'm on 68 points, but really it's only three players that have properly landed.
Talking of Chelsea, congratulations also to those managers who bought in Kai Havertz, 14 points for him. And of course, Chelsea still have that game tonight too. Now, Ted, as well as having Reece James, to be honest, I could have picked out any player from your team. You brought James in, but as I said, you've got over 100 points already, played that bench boost, and you've still got how many players still to play tonight on Thursday night?
Well, it was going to be 9 players, but I think Reece James being out reduces it to 8.
Oh,
so, I mean, I can't complain, really. It's a very healthy score and a lot of upside still to be had. But yeah, gutted Reece James is out of tonight, and I captained him with this juicy, juicy Burnley and Norwich double fixture. But I think he basically delivered what owners and non-owners were expecting, either a massive double-figure haul or an injury. And both have happened in the same space of the same game week. So, you know, can't complain with 18 points. 36 as a captain is absolutely fantastic. But yes, Arsenal boys came through for me. Saka and Lacazette in particular, absolutely on fire at the moment. Lacazette just subtly teeing up his teammates with deft touches, and they're just absolutely firing wonder goals into the back of the opponent's net. So yeah, really happy with those, and they were sitting on the bench with the bench boost, so happy to pick up those points in this game week. And yes, lots still to play. Rafinha, Coutinho, and plenty of Wolves players, although not too many expectations there with their lack of form at the moment. Jimenez and double Wolves defense against Watford, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, but if you do want your players to be playing a team this week, it would probably be Watford, because they too struggling for form under Roy Hodgson. I'm going to move on quickly now. Also, Philippe Coutinho, a shout out for him. He was part of your team, got 13 points in Aston Villa's 4-0 win against Southampton. They, of course, face Leeds later. I should also give a nod to Danny Ings, 15 points against his former club at the weekend. Now, Adrian's already mentioned Harry Kane, only playing once this week, but 13 points in Spurs' huge 5-0 win at home to Everton. Vicky, you've got the Kane-Son double up. He's looking back to his best, isn't he? Going up those all-time Premier League score ranks as well as the FPL ranks. And I think a lot of people are going to be very envious. You've got that double up coming into a double for Spurs. And of course, they play in game week 30.
Yeah, I mean, I've had my eye on the fixtures coming up. But I think tactically, I'm quite a loyal manager. So when I bring in a player like Kane, and you know, it is that choice, isn't it? You know, do you go Kane and Son? Do you put Salah in? You've only got a limited number of big hitters. And I think for me, Kane, even when he was struggling with form, even when there were questions about his future, I mean, I've had him in for several seasons, and he does the business. It's that classic thing, isn't it? Class is permanent and form is temporary. And I was never in doubt. I have to say, loyalty is sometimes misplaced. Stuck with Aubameyang for a long time this season. That was an error. but this one with Kane, yeah, I think Son as well. I mean, what a player. I love watching him. I love his personality. He's a brilliant character. And again, just keeps ticking over. That's what he does. He's absolute class. So no, I'm pleased with that double. And particularly, as you say, when Spurs had those games continually called off earlier in the season, I thought, you know what, there are going to be some big game weeks coming up. And yeah, got my eye on a triple captain soon for Harry.
Oh, interesting. We'll come on to that very shortly. I'm quite jealous that you've still got that chip, actually. Anyway, I should add at this point, a win for Liverpool, but a blank for Mo Salah, with Trent Alexander-Arnold scoring. Despite not having a double game week, the Egyptian was still the most captained player, but just the 6 points for those that gave him the armband. And yes, before you ask, That was me. As for the Mini League, more change at the top with Money Mace and Bayern Brew, the new number one and number two. Big congrats to Deanie in a Bottle, who I think could actually be a Watford fan. Well, I'm guessing, so why else would you call your team Deanie in a Bottle? They moved into the top 10 with a massive 93 points. Do remember you can join the league at any time. The code is 1KIKS7. Time now, though, for us to look ahead as 29 is another doubler with six teams playing twice. Six teams playing twice this game week are Arsenal, Brighton, Everton, Liverpool, Newcastle and Tottenham. But do remember that not every team is going to play in game week 30. So when bringing in players, do check how many players you're going to have for that game week 30. Let's now, though, dive down into the best players to give us green arrows out of those teams that are doubling for game week 29. Ted, firstly, would it be worth using any chips in this game week if you've still got them?
Well, I'm certainly eyeing up using a chip. I still have the triple captain as well. So Mo Salah is possibly being used that chip. But I mean, wild cards and free hits can also be used to capitalise on the double game week fixtures. Whether or not they'd be better used at other times in the season remains to be seen. But I think you can sort of get by this game week by bringing in certain players from certain teams such as Arsenal and Spurs who have a double game week in 29 and also play in game week 30. So those, from my point of view, are the teams to focus on.
Okay, let's start with Arsenal then, who face Leicester at home and Liverpool at home. As Ted just told us, both Arsenal and Spurs do play twice in this game week and they have a fixture in 30. Do you think we can finally rely on your boys, Adrian? Because it does feel like maybe there's a bit more consistency around Mikel Arteta's side now.
Oh, there's a lot of value in the attacking midfielders, no doubt about that. I've got Emile Smith-Rowe, who has sort of been... I wish I'd had Saka over the last few games because Smith-Rowe's had injuries, illness, etc. So that was a mistake on my part, maybe a little bit unlucky. But Bukayo Saka is playing extraordinarily well. He is on fire. I think he will end up as the top point scorer for Arsenal. He's more powerful. He's more direct. His shooting has improved dramatically since the start of this season. He's stroking shots into the top corner now, isn't he? Like he did at Vicarage Road. So he's someone that I would highly recommend. Martin Ødegaard is the other form player. Previously, I wouldn't have recommended him in FPL because he didn't get into the box. He didn't shoot enough and he didn't create enough click-up chances, but he's changed his game in the last few weeks. He's got more confidence. So I wouldn't dissuade anyone from looking at him. He's very cheap, of course. I think he's 5.5, isn't he? Martin Ødegaard. So, with Arsenal, at the moment, they're playing a very attack-minded brand of football. They've tweaked the system a little bit. It's more of a 4-1-4-1. I think even though there's two tough games, Leicester and Liverpool at home, I think they'll attack them. I think they'll go for it. Which means there should be goals. I'm not sure about clean sheets for Arsenal in these two fixtures, but I think they'll attack them in a really positive way. So Saka, Martinelli, Ødegaard, potentially Smith Rowe, that Lacazette as well with his assist habit at the moment. These are all players to consider.
Okay, so Adrian's given us a few options there, Vicky. Is Bukayo Saka the standout for you as well? Which player would you be looking at, particularly in the attack, if that's where the value is, as Adrian said?
I mean, I think he is. I think it's that time of year, though, isn't it, where you're looking for those marginal gains. You know, if you want to invest in the back line, where can you go, particularly with a side like Arsenal, where, as you say, you know, that attacking form at the moment for all of them, you know, Saka, Ødegaard, Martinelli is so positive. For me, it's Martinelli. I mean, I covered Brazil at the Olympics last summer and was really impressed with the cameos that he did there. I had a feeling that he was going to have a good season, and I've been really impressed with his play. And it's one of those where you look at it and you just think there are so many chances in game where he's so close to scoring. And, you know, the numbers aren't bad either, but I think when you actually watch the games, Martinelli's one of those players that you think, oh, do you know what? You are whiskers away from really getting those numbers up. And I'm not saying that he will necessarily push Saka in terms of that, because I think Saka is, you know, out on his own in terms of stats at the moment. I mean, 6 goals, 3 assists from the last 10, but 6.5 million versus 5.3 million, you know, 1.2 to spend somewhere else. I think that's where I lean towards, because I think Martinelli is playing so well, and Ødegaard as well, as you mentioned, 5.5. But yeah, for me, Martinelli, I think he's outstanding.
Ted, you've got Saka in your team. You've also got Alexandra Lacazette as well. You must be happy with having both of those. Are they, for you, the standouts in that Arsenal attack, at least?
I think so. I think Saka's going to be the most popular player going forward, but Lacazette is Mr. Understated at the moment. I mean, Saka's got 9 returns in his last 10 games, but Lacazette's got 10. I mean, I don't think many people would be able to guess that, thinking about it without any information in front of them. He has this knack of bringing other players into the game, and I think he's a classic case of being a better FPL option than he is like an actual prolific player in that Arsenal side, certainly in goal scoring terms. So yeah, as an FPL asset, I'm really happy to own Lacazette for the time being, as long as he keeps ticking along, very, very consistent.
And as Vicky pointed out with Aubameyang leaving, he's the only one. He's going to play, isn't he? Alexander Lacazette. There's not going to be any rotation. Mikel Arteta doesn't fancy Nketiah from the start. He's definitely someone that comes on in matches. I mean, Lacazette won't play the full 90 in many contests. So there's that chance that you might lose points on him being subbed off. But yeah, his unselfishness is incredible. And I do feel that the goals will come for him, because it's not as if he's a poor finisher. Last season, his conversion rates were right up there with the Canes, the Vardys, the Bruno Fernandes. He was outstanding. So yeah, it almost feels like he's due a goal. The only caveat with Martinelli, I would say, is that if there's going to be any rotation in the Arsenal front four, I suspect it's between Smith Rowe and Martinelli. That's the only thing, and that's why I might have to offload Smith Rowe at some point soon, because he doesn't seem nailed on like Saka is to start.
It's a nice problem for Arteta to have, really, having all of these excellent players to fit into that front three and even front five. Because, you know, Nketiah is vying for a spot. Even Martinelli playing as a forward with Smith Rowe on the left might be an option. So really, really looking promising for Arsenal going forwards.
A quick word on them defensively as well, Vicky, because we're talking all about the attack, but you said before about the marginal gains and looking to maybe have players that other people don't have. They've not been as good in terms of keeping clean sheets, none in three now. Aaron Ramsdale, though, is the most popular goalkeeper in the game, so a lot of people would have him. Would you go for a defender too, or is it better to maybe double up on that attack instead?
I, having had a look at the fixtures, have brought in, I've got Ben White and I've got Aaron Ramsdale. I mean, I've gone quite strong on the keepers. I've got De Gea and I've got Ramsdale as well. And I think that's it. As you say, Ramsdale is an absolute steal at 5.1. I mean, if you're going to have two keepers that are actually, you know they're both going to play, you know that on their day they're going to make some great saves, even if they concede a goal and lose the clean sheet bonus. I mean, they are two keepers, De Gea and Ramsdale, that do pull off a lot of saves. So it's tricky. I mean, if you have the option and if you can work it with those marginal gains, I think for this, absolutely, given the fixtures that they have, Leicester and Liverpool, you want to go attacking. But I think long term, I don't think the Arsenal defence is a bad shout, particularly because they are just relatively cheaper than defenders in the other big sides, as it were.
Okay, on to Spurs now, across North London. 2 away games at Manchester United and Brighton. A reminder, they do, of course, play in game week 30. It feels like the debate here is Kane or Son. And Vicky, I can't come to you on this because you're...
Wee, Kane and Son.
...fortunate position to have both of them. Ted, who's the better option? Who should we be targeting? Or, if managers can, should they just do a Vicky and go for both?
This is a very poignant question for me, because I've been spending all week trying to find out how to fit them all in my team. So it's very difficult. Son
Haven't
and Kane
you got 20 players already, judging by your bench boost?
Yeah, absolutely. No, they're just expensive. Son and Kane, it's really difficult to have both and have Mo Salah as well. So I think we might have to go bargain hunting for the likes of Kulusevski, who has really been in form recently, really hit the ground running at Spurs and seems to have nailed down that right wing spot. I think Lucas Moura has been out, so it remains to be seen whether he does get rotated with Lucas Moura, but I think for the time being his position is secured. So with that appetizing double game week against Man United and Brighton, then I think he's probably a good shout at 6.1 million. Very, very good value.
Yeah, I was going to ask about him because there's a lot of people trying to get both of Kane and Son in. And for so long, Adrian, they've been the only players in that Spurs attack really that we could rely on. I know Lucas Moura has had some returns, but they didn't feel as secure. But for 6.1, if you can't get Son or Kane in or both of them in, would you look at him?
I would actually. Yeah, I've been impressed with him. I've seen Spurs over the course of 90 minutes a few times lately. And he's impressed me. He's got good movement. He gets into great areas, Kulusevski. He finds pockets of space. And as we've seen with the assists that he's produced, I think three, he's also scored a couple of goals. His decision-making in the final third is good. I actually did an analysis piece this week for the Premier League website, and I focused on Kulusevski and Doherty, to basically the new-look right-hand side of Tottenham Hotspur. Both have had just four starts this season. And when you put it all together on a per 90-minute basis, the two players that have created the most chances in open play for Spurs this season are Doherty, 2.5 a game, and Kulusevski, 1.91. So they've added a little bit of imagination. They're manufacturing chances that the players that preceded them didn't. In terms of shots inside the box per 90, Kulusevski's having more than Kane, more than Bergwijn, more than Son Heung-min as well. And Doherty comes in at fifth for shots inside the box as well, almost 1.5 a game. So these are two players that get themselves into good positions. So I'm definitely going to go in for Doherty because I think he won't be rotated with Emerson Royale. I think he's done enough to persuade Conte that he's the number one now. Kulusevski, if I can find room for him, I would have him, but I don't know if I can yet. Maybe this time next week I'll bring him in.
What about you, Vicky? Will you be going for a third Spurs player at all? Or are you happy with the double up you've got?
I absolutely will. But this is my dilemma because I've been to the Etihad and Ellen Road to see Kulusevski play. He has been outstanding. I think the way that he settled in so quickly to the Premier League, and I'm desperate to get him in. I am also desperate to make sure that Harry Maguire, who is in my squad, doesn't play. And the problem that I'm so sorry, Harry, but the problem that I have is that Ruben Dias is injured. And I can't have four Spurs players, obviously. I also, and this is illogical. I hate losing points. I hate making an additional transfer and seeing that minus 4 points. Even if the player that I'm bringing in is going to have a double game week, there's just something in me that I hate starting on a negative. But regardless of that, I can't have four Spurs players, obviously. So, is it about bringing in Eric Dier, getting rid of Dias, which needs to happen given his injury, and you've got the double game week? Or is it about bringing in Kulusevski? And I think I've worked out a way to get Kulusevski in a couple of weeks' time and put Dier in for this game week. So I think that's what I'm going to do. But honestly, I mean, 3.8% of people have him. He's a great differential at the moment, Kulusevski. I don't think that will last for long because honestly, and I'll take the point about Moura, but if he keeps his place in the team, what I've seen of him in the flesh at games has been so, so good. The fact that he's settled so well, already the connection that he has with Son and Kane, I think he's the new Jared Bowen for me, if Bowen's injury keeps him out. And I know that they're hoping that Bowen actually might be back for the second leg against Sevilla, which would mean he only misses one more Premier League game. But you just can't tell, can you, definitively? And honestly, I think for people who are maybe thinking about a sub for Bowen, I would go Kulusevski, absolutely.
Yeah, from 5 starts, 2 goals, 3 assists and 33 FPL points for Kulusevski. Not a bad start indeed. Just a word defensively, Ted, because the guys there have just mentioned Matt Doherty, 18 and 14 points in his last two. It does feel like he's a little bit more nailed now under Antonio Conte, doesn't it? And also another word, Sergio Reguilón came on against Everton on Monday with Ryan Sessegnon going off. So are there a couple of options there maybe in the Spurs defence?
Yeah, absolutely. With the Spurs defence, it's always a marry-off between security of minutes, targeting those central three in Davis, Romero and Dier, or going for the attacking threat in Reguilón or Doherty. But there is some rotation threat still potential, but Sessegnon went off injured, I think, in the last game. So potentially Reguilón comes in and plays a lot more minutes. And Emerson Royale seems to have lost his place to Doherty. So these guys seem to be the most attacking fullbacks and most secure of minutes. And both of them are in the top four for expected goal involvement, which is just a good stat of measuring the quality of their attacking chances. Reguilón's top with 2.05 and Doherty is is fourth with 1.42. No, Doherty's 4.7 million. So that provides a hell of a lot of value for bringing all of these additional premium options into your side, fitting in Son and Kane, for example. So I'm very much personally looking to bring in Doherty this week.
So you're going for Doherty. Are you going for Kulusevski? Who are your... I'm intrigued who your Spurs players are going to be, because I did see on Twitter you were talking about taking a minus eight. I could tell you wanted to get Harry Kane in. So obviously Spurs are playing a big part in your transfer plans for this week.
It's a big decision about whether to get a well-rounded, balanced side with Kulusevski or keep Son and to have a weaker bench. But yes, the minus eight is pretty scary. But as Vicky said, I hate having those negative points at the start of the week, but I think you can sort of get away with it in a double game week if you're bringing in someone with an extra fixture, because you've already got those additional two appearance points to almost cancel out some of that hit.
You've just racked up over 100. You can give up eight. Yeah. It's not an issue, is it? Come on.
You've got to speculate to accumulate, I think.
Yeah, don't be greedy with those points. Just give them back to FPL. Anyway, now on to Liverpool. We've got Brighton away and Arsenal away, but they won't play in game week 30. Is it safe to assume Mo Salah is essential this week? Do I even need to ask this, Vicky?
Well, I think if you're going Salah over Son, then of course, absolutely. Again, it's kind of working out who your big hitters are. And I think for me, I've put my flag firmly in the Spurs camp. But I mean, there are just so many good options, aren't there? Andy Robertson, yes, he's expensive, 7.2, but creating so many chances at the moment. And then, of course, Trent Alexander-Arnold is just a win in every way possible. So again, if you've got the finance, then they are a team that of course you're going to look at. I think the fact though that when you compare them with Tottenham, because they're not playing in game week 30, unless you're saving a free hit, and I think that's where you can adapt your team for the double game week. And then if you free hit it in 30, then it doesn't matter. So I think I'm contemplating that. I'm not going to change too much for this double game week, but I think for me, I'd almost rather use a free hit. And particularly when you look at head-to-head leagues, I think when you have a match round, the temptation is if there's a double game week, oh, you free hit and you get everybody in and they play twice. I think the real killers when it comes to head-to-head leagues in particular, if those leagues are important to you, then rounds where there are, you know, six teams playing, that's where you can really make up ground by using the free hit. And that was the thinking behind the Christmas debacle that never happened. But yeah, so I think that's one way to do it if you want to focus on Liverpool and then free hit in 30 and get those Spurs and Arsenal players in.
What about you, Adrian? Who are your Liverpool players for this game week?
I've got Trent, I've got Salah and I've got Jota. Now, obviously they'll play this week, but one of them will have to go next week so that I'm not short of bodies in the week where Liverpool don't play. That will be Jota. I'm pretty sure of that, barring injury to either of the other two. Jota looks a little bit off colour, doesn't he? He's not quite in the same form that he was a few weeks ago before that injury. He was sublime then. So yeah, he'll play here, but I think he might go next week for a Son potentially in game week 30. But Luis Diaz is the most interesting player at Liverpool right now for me. I think moving forward, I might pair him up with Salah. You look at the shots per game, he's averaging over 4.5. Now, only one other player averages over 4.5 shots a game, and that's Mo Salah. So he's ranked second in the Premier League for that. Touches in the box, he's ranked third behind Salah and Sterling. He's getting himself into goal-scoring positions all of the time, Luis Diaz. So I think he's going to be a points muncher moving forward. No doubt about that, Luis Diaz. It's just finding the right time to bring him in.
Points muncher. One of my favourite things that has ever been said on this podcast. Let's talk about a few more points munchers, shall we, Ted? Because you sold what I would consider at the moment a points muncher last week, didn't you? Andy Robertson. Are you nervous not having him for this game week? I'm guessing it was part of that plan for game week 30, but a lot of people will be looking at bringing in Robertson this week.
I am terrified not owning Robertson this week. I think the plan was always to keep him for 29, but James just looked too good to be true this week. But sadly, it hasn't quite worked out long term. So I might be looking to bring back Robertson. He's absolutely fantastic. We know his attacking threat. We know Liverpool's clean sheet potential. The only downside that I'm currently debating or weighing up in my head is that the lack of fixtures going forward. So Liverpool obviously don't play in 30, and they've got quite a congested European schedule along with the FA Cup. So there is potential that he might get rested one of the easier games, such as Watford in 31, and then following that, they play Man City in 32. So I'm actually considering not bringing him back in just because of that long-term view. But certainly in 29, he's an unenviable risk to ignore. And yeah, just to echo what Adrian was saying about Diaz, what a breath of fresh air he's been at Liverpool. And I think he has a knock-on effect to the players around him. So he'll play on that left and Mane will end up playing in the middle, Mane or Jota. So either you can look at that as an advantage for Mane owners, that he'll play in a central position and get a lot more big chances, or he'll become a rotation risk with Jota and Jota will play half the minutes he's used to. But yes, I think Diaz is a great option at 8 million, as long as he keeps his place.
Yeah, and of course, Roberto Firmino coming back to fitness now as well, it seems. It's going to be interesting to see who plays when, because Klopp is going to have to use his squad, isn't he, with all of these competitions that Liverpool in. Just quickly, Ted, just going back to that Robertson decision, I'm presuming you did still have Trent Alexander-Arnold in your team.
Yes, Trent and Salah are my two Liverpool representatives. So not going completely out on a limb, ignoring Liverpool, but... But that third spot is definitely tempting in this excellent double game week.
It feels risky to go without those two players for me, Trent and Mo Salah.
Absolutely. They're the best FPL assets in the game, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if Trent is priced closer to 9 million next season.
Okay, so that's Liverpool covered off. A bit of food for thought there, but do remember they don't play in game week 30. Let's just talk on a couple of the other teams that do double. Inform Newcastle have another double with Chelsea and Everton away. Vicky, you cover them a lot. Any interest there? They don't play in game week 30 either.
Yeah, I think the concern, obviously the player that jumps out is Alan Saint-Maximin, 6.8 million, talisman for them. But Eddie Howe saying this week that he's not 100% fit. So I think that's the problem, isn't it? You know, if he does play, he's likely to be involved. But do you want to take a risk on a player that might not feature? So it's a tricky one with Newcastle. Ryan Fraser, obviously, doing well. And, you know, that's a potential option. But, yeah, it's a difficult one. I think particularly Saint-Maximin, the one that stands out. But with the fitness question, not for me.
Okay, moving on to Brighton now. Only one win in 8 for them. They've got a tricky double hosting Liverpool and Spurs. Anyone there, or is that form just a bit too worrying for you, Adrian?
Yeah, the form's not good. I don't think I'd be investing in any Brighton players. Lamptey is in my squad and obviously he's on a double this game week, but he might be on the bench. You know, not on that unconfident in Brighton at the moment. This, you know, double game weeks look good when you've got those two fixtures, but when they're two really tough fixtures and you're not playing well, you can get bitten by it, can't you? So yeah, I wouldn't be diving in on any Brighton players. I won't sell Lamptey this week. I'll keep him as an option in case one of my players doesn't start, but yeah, no, I would swerve.
And finally, Everton, they've lost 4 of their last 5 under Frank Lampard, including that 5-0 thrashing at Spurs. Is that enough to put you off completely, Ted?
I'm not so sure. I think I'd be tempted with Anthony Gordon at 4.5 million. Everton have a decent double game week, even though they're in poor form. Wolves at home and Newcastle at home, decent set of fixtures. And they've also got quite a lot of games remaining to be rescheduled in the rest of the season. So plenty of possible double game weeks on the horizon. So preempting that with a cheap bench option such as Gordon, who is also, you know, has the best attacking stats in that team, might not be the worst option.
Okay, well, they're the teams that double covered off. Remember, blank game week 30 does follow this one. So make sure when you're making your transfers, you do bear in mind your players may not play the following week. For now, though, let's keep our eyes on game week 29 by previewing some of the fixtures involving teams who only play once. Here's a full rundown of Double Game Week 29 then. Firstly, your deadline, 11 a.m. UK time on Saturday, the 12th of March. Don't forget, it's then Brighton versus Liverpool. Graham Potter's side held the Reds in the reverse fixture. There's one big battle at the bottom in the only 3 p.m. fixture, Brentford-Burnley. Ivan Toney looking to build on his hat-trick last weekend. Manchester United versus Spurs is then the late game. Sunday sees five 2 p.m. fixtures. Chelsea-Newcastle, another huge game at the bottom. Leeds taking on Norwich. The Claret and Blue face off as West Ham welcome Aston Villa. Everton host Wolves and Southampton entertain Watford. The late game is then Arsenal versus Leicester on Monday at 8. It's Patrick Vieira versus Pep Guardiola as Palace play City. Then the doublers, Brighton Spurs is Tuesday, Arsenal Liverpool Wednesday, and Everton Newcastle takes place on Thursday. Okay, so over to you, trusty panellist, to preview a fixture concerning a team who we haven't really discussed yet. Ted, you've gone for Chelsea versus Newcastle. I imagine there are a few people who invested in Thomas Tuchel's side the last game week wondering what they should be doing here.
It's a really interesting fixture, Kelly. I think this is going to be a potential banana skin for Chelsea. And Newcastle were in very, very good form. They haven't lost in the last 8 matches. And Chelsea haven't exactly got a lot of rhythm after being away at the Club World Cup. So yes, they did beat Burnley 4-0, but they've lost another of their key players in Reece James, who probably will be out of this fixture. And it just shows how dependent they are on attacking chances created and all that. But yeah, I think Newcastle's defence has really impressed me recently. I think they've only conceded 5 goals in their last 8 games, 3 clean sheets, and they haven't conceded more than 1 goal in any of those matches. So in terms of defensive stats compared to both of them, I think they're both exceptional. They're both only bettered by Man City and Liverpool defensively. And attacking-wise, they're both fairly mediocre, with Newcastle actually coming out on top in the last 6 matches. So I wouldn't be surprised for a low-scoring game and maybe potential clean sheets on the horizon. The problem with Chelsea is there is a little bit of rotation to be expected. Lukaku and Werner are always waiting on the bench, ready to take a starting position. And, you know, Pulisic, Mount and Havertz aren't necessarily that secure of minutes. I think probably the best option in that attacking lineup is Havertz, fresh off his double goal, his brace against Burnley. But before that, he hadn't got an attacking return since game week 14. That's a very, very long time ago. So if you wanted to be safe, I think Rudiger is probably the most secure of minutes, and Chelsea are prioritising defensive returns at the moment. So he is probably the safest bet. I'm gutted Reece James is out because he had the most upside for me, and that's been taken away, sadly. So yes, very, very difficult to call this one.
Adrian, you two are going to preview a 2 p.m. fixture on Sunday. It feels like a bit of a backwards weekend, doesn't it, with so many games on Sunday instead of Saturday. The game you're looking at is West Ham versus Aston Villa.
Yep, the Claret and Blue Derby. Yeah, it's an interesting game. West Ham are such a hard team to sort of pick at the moment, aren't they? Antonio, really short on goals too from his last 19 in the league. You've got Jared Bowen, a major injury doubt. You're thinking, where are the goals going to come from here? So, but they always score at home. It's a remarkable record, actually. West Ham, one of just 2 teams, along with Liverpool, to have scored in every single Premier League home game this season. And I wouldn't say that Aston Villa are the most watertight of opponents. So you'd have to expect them to get themselves a goal at some point, West Ham. Would a 4-0 be a differential? He seems back in favour. He played pretty much up front, actually, at Anfield last weekend and had some good opportunities. So he's someone to consider. But yeah, West Ham are a strange team. They did batter Aston Villa 4-1, didn't they, at Villa Park earlier on in the season. So they're looking for a double. On the Villa side, Coutinho is the obvious one, isn't he? I mean, he's in great, great form. I love him, what he's doing at the moment, playing in behind the front two. bursting beyond them to get into the box, to have chances, wriggling away from players to tee others up. I think he's really enjoying his football. Incidentally, I know it's going back a bit, but the last time he played at the London Stadium, he scored twice and assisted. So it's a ground that he's got happy memories from. So Coutinho might be someone nice to have on board this weekend. On the flip side, I just want to put a little heads up out there for Danny Ings owners. He's faced West Ham more than any other side without scoring. 9 games against West Ham, No goals for Danny Ings. So anyone that's got Ingsy, who delivered last weekend, might want to be contemplating a change, which seems harsh, doesn't it? But then again, Riyad Mahrez had never scored against Manchester United, and he got 2, didn't he, last weekend? So these records are there to be broken.
Yeah, Danny Ings' owners won't thank you for that. They're just getting excited because it does look like that partnership potentially between him and Ollie Watkins is starting to click. Just a quick word, though, on Jarrod Bowen, because he's been so popular. Vicky alluded to the fact earlier that she would consider selling him with Kulusevski a good replacement. Normally, managers, when they see players get an injury, will have sold a player very quickly. But because Bowen plays in 30, I think there's a bit of a hesitancy to do that. What would you suggest people do?
Well, I've got him. And I've got that very dilemma myself this weekend. And I think that my patience is not as strong as Vicky's. I have to get rid of him, I think, for Saka, because of the issues that we talked about with Arsenal and their attack-minded quality. So I think even it will cost me money. That's the issue. I sell Bowen and then bring him back in a few weeks' time. I'm going to pay you know, a couple of points extra probably to bring him back, but I don't think I can sit on that. I need to get another player into the team.
Okay, let's move on to the final fixture we're looking ahead to. Vicky, you've looked at Crystal Palace versus Man City, which takes place on Monday.
Yeah, this is a tempting one if you look back at the match that happened earlier this season, because Palace won 2-0 at the Etihad in late October. We have to caveat that with the fact that Laporte was sent off just before half time, but they were already 1-0 up by then, Palace, and it was a great performance. And I think Crystal Palace at home, even though, you know, that was an away win clearly at the Etihad, but Crystal Palace at home, they're just a different prospect, aren't they? I don't think they'll win, but I think that they might be able to score. They've only failed to score twice in the Premier League at home this season. That was against Brentford back in August and against Chelsea. You know, they've netted against the likes of West Ham, against Liverpool. You look at Ruben Dias being out. You know, of course, Manchester City have defensive resilience without him. Laporte and Stones, I think, are good options at the moment. Cancelo is one of those where you think, oh, you just love to get him in. But for many people, I think he's too expensive. You can save those marginal gains by going with Laporte or Stones at the moment. But I don't know, I fancy Palace potentially to get a goal. In terms of their options, I've got Conor Gallagher. I think he's absolutely brilliant. He's 6.2. Obviously Zaha, always a threat, 6.8. But Michael Olise, if you're looking for a differential, he's another one, as we were discussing with Martinelli, where you watch him. He's only got one assist in his last 5 games, but you watch the games that he plays, and again, you think this is so marginal in terms of your stats and being able to actually push up those goals and assists. I love the way he plays. I love the way that he integrates into the way that Crystal Palace work things under Patrick Vieira. I think if you've got the money, the safer bet, I mean, he's 5.4. The differential, as I say, 0.6% of people have him, is good with Olise. If you were going to go for a Palace player, if you think that they're going to breach that back line of Manchester City, even just once, you know, Gallagher for me is the one that stands out. Or if you've got a little bit more, then why not go Zaha? There's only 0.6 between them. In terms of Manchester City attackers, I mean, this is the dilemma, isn't it? And this for me is why I've stuck with Son and Kane, because you know they're going to play. You know they'll be amongst the game, the goals at some point. But, you know, Foden, De Bruyne, Sterling, Mahrez, huge range in terms of their prices, but you just don't know. You know, any one of them on a given day could play and get a hat trick. And I think that is just the classic dilemma with Manchester City. But I think there'll be goals. I think it'll be a good game. If you've got a City player in terms of defensively, and again, they can pop up at the other end as well. Obviously, Cancelo for me, I don't have him, but would always be a starter. But I've just got a feeling that Palace might be able to get at least a goal.
Yeah, Joao Cancelo did miss the Champions League game in midweek with illness, and Pep hasn't yet said if he knows he's going to be back on Monday as well. So that's something to bear in mind. Ted, for you, when we talk about double game week, some of us get lured in, don't we, to teams that have the two fixtures. When it comes to Manchester City, given how good they are, is this a good enough fixture for you to still start a Manchester City player or hold a Manchester City player for this game?
Yeah, I wouldn't be bringing in because of the knock-on effect of the blanking in 30 and Liverpool in 32. But certainly playing a Man City player against Palace is absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, Cancelo, for example, has been absolutely on fire all season, and it'd be very scary to bench him in a single fixture. We know that single game week players can even beat double game week players. So don't get caught up by playing a weaker double game week player ahead of some of the key Man City assets.
Yeah, that's often the message, isn't it, when it comes to double game weeks. Be wary of single game weekers that have fixtures that could see them produce points in. Okay, that's your double game week 29 extensive preview covered off. It's on now to transfers and captains. Okay, so Ted Wickham, I am coming to you first. Because of this minus eight, I want to see exactly where you're standing on your transfer plans. Listeners can't see this right now, but you've got your head in your hands, which I think says a lot about how you're feeling about what you're going to do with that team.
Yeah, there's a lot of thoughts going through my head at the moment. I feel with the injury to Reece James, he's the easiest transfer out for me, and he will probably go to Matt Doherty at Spurs with the double, and he plays in 30. I'm trying to get through game week 30 without playing a chip. So bringing in players from Spurs seems like a logical option. The player I most want is Harry Kane, and I don't have him. I think he's absolutely on fire at the moment, and I already have Son Heung-min. So it's a question of, do I get them both? Or do I move Son out to fund Kane with an addition of Kulusevski? So the current plan I have at the moment is James to Doherty, Coutinho to Gordon, and Jimenez to Kane. And that would allow me Kane, Son, and Salah in my team. And I'm pretty excited about that prospect. That would give me 9 double game week players in 29. And I think 10 players in 30. So quite healthy transfers, but the minus eight is pretty scary, that has to be said.
Adrian alluded to it earlier. We need to check how many players you've been allowed by FPL, because it just feels like every week
I think he's got
so
more spending money
playing.
Kelly, he's got more spending money than us. This isn't right.
It's interesting you say that, Ted, because I've got a similar conundrum in having Son but wanting Kane, and working out whether I can get them both in, who I'm going to sacrifice. And it is daunting. But this is why we play FPL, isn't it? Because those transfers you've just said there sound really exciting as well. Vicky, what about you? What are your plans with your team?
So no Son and Kane dilemma for me. As we know, it's definitely Kane captain, Son vice. My only decision really still to make in terms of captaincy is if I use the triple captain chip. I mean, it's Manchester United away, Brighton away. It's very tempting. It's very tempting. And that would go to Harry Kane. In terms of transfers, I think it's going to be Eric Dier in for Ruben Dias again with the double game week, and then Tottenham playing again in 30. And as I mentioned earlier, working out a way to get Kulusevski. And there's this, I'm happy with the midfield, four of the midfield. I might stick with Bowen just because if I was going to change him, it would be for Kulusevski, and can't do that if I bring Dier in. And hopefully, if he is just going to miss this one Premier League game, then I might just leave him in for now. But Son, Gallagher, Bowen and Martinelli for me are the ones that I keep. And then I rotate this fifth position. So I've had Cornet in for Burnley's double game week, Ward-Prowse in for Southampton. And I think that's the position that I would probably try and upgrade into Kulusevski at some point, and then switch back to a Manchester City defender for Eric Dier. So that's the plan. I'm happy. I've known that this week coming up where Arsenal and Spurs are both going to be playing in 30. I've planned that for a while. So we've got 3 Arsenal players, 3 Spurs players, and contemplating using 3 free hit as well, because I hate having not enough players to field a team. It irritates me. So we'll see.
And Adrian, finally, your plans. You've alluded to them a little bit already. You've said about a Spurs defender, potentially Matt Doherty.
Doherty comes in, yeah, for Reece James. It's a sort of a no-brainer really with the injury. And Bowen's going to go for Saka. Saka's just playing so well that I can't not have him in the team at the moment. So those two are the changes, and it will leave me a little bit of extra cash to spend next week, where I might want to upgrade from Jota to Son Heung-min. So that's my thinking there.
Okay, finally, captaincy. Ted, has it got to be Mo Salah for you?
It's triple captain Mo Salah for me. I was really gutted not to be able to triple captain Mo in game week 26 when he got, 81 points or something like that. I wildcarded then to set up for this run of double game weeks. So I'm trying to attempt some vindication by clawing back some of that Mo Salah loyalty with this triple captain in 29. It's definitely a harder double than in 26, but my fingers are crossed.
Vicky, you're going towards using that chip on Harry Kane?
Yeah, it's still going to make the final decision, but I think, I'm very tempted.
Yeah, that is nice. I'm quite jealous, although can't be too jealous when I did have Salah for those 81 points a few weeks ago. Adrian, what about you?
Yeah, I didn't. I tripled the same week, but I tried to be clever and went with Alexander-Arnold because he's been outscoring Salah. And of course, he got left out, didn't he? That was such a... honestly, if I could have punched Jurgen Klopp that day, I would have done, because I just thought
we do not condone violence
plays
on this podcast.
Yeah, no, sorry, I'll take that back. I love him really, but no, I was really miffed at that, because he very rarely is rotated, and he did it on my triple week. So yeah, I think it's Salah or Trent Alexander-Arnold, but given that Ted is going for the triple, that's a show of endorsement, isn't it? So yeah, I think Salah's going to get it.
Yeah, it does feel like Salah's the standout option. But Adrian, just to vindicate your decision a few weeks to go for Trent Alexander over Mo Salah, over the last 13 games where they've both started, Alexander-Arnold has outscored Salah 10 times. So it did make sense on paper, as so many of our FPL decisions do. Just doesn't always pay off, is that one?
No help now, Kelly. No help now.
Yeah. Sorry about that, but I just thought I'd make you feel better by saying it wasn't a bad decision. Anyway, that's where we're going to wrap for this week. A pleasure to have you all on, and good to have you on board the pod now, Vicky. So thanks for being with us. The best of luck to you all this game week. Do remember to sort those teams by Saturday at 11 a.m. UK time. Don't forget as well, you can check out the website fantasy.premierleague.com and the Premier League app for more help and tips. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.